Christopher Media, unregimented.
He can write a song. He knows how to write a pop hook. Man can write a song. Man, you can't deny him that.
He can work a DCG chord progression.
You're right. I cannot deny that what he wrote were songs.
Unregimented on iTunes and ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media, let's make some noise.
Hey, can you see us?
That's way better than usual. So usually it's like Rich looking across the room and Aaron like 10 feet away.
Right.
We need the big TV back down here.
Oh, shit.
I was telling Aaron, I can't tell if you exfoliated today.
Christopher Media, let's make some noise. From Asthma Core Studios near Detroit, Michigan, it's Unregimented.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
All right, well, welcome to episode 17. There you go, Rich. You're now on the bulk of them as of this episode.
Oh, boy.
Tipping point.
Yes. Well, Rich.
So, in other words,
I'm Chris.
I guess I do have the job.
Yeah.
I passed my 90-day.
By the way, you're hired.
My 90-day test. When's my benefits kick in? I got this rash. I just need to have it looked at.
Anyway, so
I have
that's
under.
Rich.
Yeah, I'm Chris.
And this is Aaron.
Hey, by the way, I have under 50 employees. I do not have to offer you health insurance. Obama says so.
Thank you, job creator.
Hey, thank you for listening, liking, and sharing Unregimented on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at UnregimentedPod. You can also email us, unregimented@christophermedia.net. You can subscribe to Unregimented on iTunes for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on christophermedia.net. Android users, you've not been forgotten about. You can find Unregimented on Stitcher Radio. And apparently they just launched some kind of new nifty little Stitcher player where you can save things to listen for later. So you got 16 episodes that you can go back to listen to if you're just discovering us today, which, by the way, welcome. So check us out on Stitcher. And you can also donate to Christopher Media by using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. Every little bit helps. Hey, you got a quarter? Give us a quarter. We'll use it to feed something. I don't fucking know. Yeah, so...
So the whole world is falling apart right now.
Yeah, it's got to be affecting people, because just today has just been a weird fucking area for me and dealing with general people. Like today, I'm sitting in my car waiting to go into where I got to go into, returning some emails. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I notice out of the corner of my eye, a shopping cart just fucking hauling ass right for the car.
No driver. It's ghost driving. No,
and it is not like a shopping cart that is all of a sudden rolling away and is picking. No, it is clearly fucking been shoved in the general direction of my car. And as soon as I see the thing, wham, hits the car. I get out of the car immediately like, what the fuck? And just start looking around. This kid is like, oh, hey, did I just hit your car? I'm like, yeah, you fucking did. Oh, I'm sorry. Gets his car, drives away. Oh, by the way, he's 10 fucking feet from the cart corral. This is the kind of thing that makes me fear for the future. Like, no remorse, didn't give a fuck, didn't be like, oh, hey, I'm sorry. Oh, did I do that? Yeah. Gets his car, leaves. Dude, this is who's take care of us when we're shitting our pants, guys.
No bullshit.
I'm not planning on being around that long.
No accountability, no remorse. I mean, I sound like Grandpa here, but fuck it. At this point,
get off my lawn.
That kid ain't gonna take care of anybody. When his grandpa or his father gets too old to walk around, he's gonna put him in a wheelchair and throw him out in the Myers parking lot.
Hey, Dad, here comes an 18-wheeler. Here. Don't hit the handbrake.
And Rob from the Weedsman is like, kick his ass. I'm like, dude, he is black and underage. That is a 2-for-1 on the hate crime department.
It's not a hate crime to hit an underage kid.
Well, I was explaining to Heather at dinner, though. I was like, I am also a wordsmith. You do not have to hit somebody for it to be called assault. That would have been my own personal car. This story could have a completely different ending.
Live from county jail.
You're opied.
Yeah, I had an incident with road rage today where I was not the aggressor.
Oh, but kind of real quick reminds me of that story. I had a similar incident happen today in front of my work. I watched a guy had parked kind of in a waiting area to go pick up some food in front of a restaurant. And guy that was in front of him was leaving. Big black van and the white truck's trying to get out and he's parked in front of him. The white truck backs up into the black van so hard that it actually pushes it like almost a foot back. And he stops for a second and then just boom, takes off.
This is Detroit.
This is on the border of Detroit. This is Grosse Pointe.
Wow.
Strictly speaking, this was fairly well off. These were nice cut vehicles. So judging from their vehicles, these guys made a decent amount of money.
You're saying insurance is involved more than likely.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, well, of course, no one has insurance. You're like, fuck this.
Yeah, right. If this happened in Detroit, I would assume that it was just like, I ain't got insurance. He probably doesn't have insurance.
Peace.
Fuck it. I'm out with this bitch. Yeah.
Two ones, pimping.
Right.
We'll see you later. Well, no, it's kind of like the Insanity Wolf meme. I just saved a fuck a ton of my car insurance by leaving the scene of a crime. You know, I just.
Dude, I love Insanity Wolf.
That's and, shit.
But I'm sorry. Go back to you were talking about road rage. Oh, I've got something to add to that.
Yeah, just today I'm at a stop sign. A truck had approached and was also to my right. So driver's ed tells us that guy gets to go.
Right.
Everything we learn in driver's ed, you are to the right. You got there first. You get to go. There is this bitch behind me losing her fucking mind, beeping her horn and like waving her hands. And I could see it in the rearview mirror. Like, what the fuck is this bitch's problem?
I love watching people's hands wave around in the rearview mirror.
And I got my window open. She's got her window open. I can hear her yelling. So when I turn, just right out the window, bird in the air, like, fuck off, you crazy bitch. Like, it's a stop sign. She catches up to me at a light. We lock eyes. She rolls down her window, starts fucking screaming at me. What the fuck? I fucking live here. That wasn't a stoplight. That's a stop sign. And all I was doing was telling that to you, and you flipped me off. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, you cunt?
Oh, really?
He got there first. He was to my right. I let him go. It's a stop sign. I don't give a fuck. And, yeah, I called her a cunt probably like 10 more times. Then I got in front of her, put the cruise control 5 miles under the speed limit, and just made her try to fucking rear end me. Like, I was doing everything in my power. It's like, dude, it's Rhode Island. It will be your fault. I have the damage waiver on this car. Go right a fucking head.
I was going to say,
I bought the insurance, bitch.
I did this bitch, and I will pay nothing.
You did the Bam Margera. Pay $8 extra insurance, and you can do whatever the hell you want with a rent-a-car.
Dude, I've gotten in accidents. I've scratched cars. I've had people run into me. I have paid nothing extra.
Fuck, I'm just going to rent a car when I need to go somewhere from now on. That's just going to be cheaper.
Yeah, I had to pay Hertz a bunch for one time when I rented a car down near Washington, D.C., and had some guy we got in a small accident, but I did not buy the insurance for it. And so instead, I just kind of dropped the car off in the middle of the night and threw the keys in the slot. And they're like, that front quarter panel, we're going to charge you for that and all the labor it took, and we're going to gouge you like crazy.
Yeah, the way it was explained to me when I had my truck stolen. And it was like right out of my apartment complex driveway, and I had full coverage, but I had a $500 deductible. I go to get the rental car because I had that on my coverage, and they go, do you want to buy the extra insurance? And I said, well, what happens if I don't? Well, if you get into an accident, you have to cover the deductible, and your insurance will cover the rest. I said, fuck, I already
got it. Yeah, it's just like if you get in an accident with your regular car.
I'm like, fuck, I already have to cover a $500 deductible already. How much extra is it? It was like $6 a day. All right, go ahead and put it on there. Didn't realize it would take like 2 weeks to get my truck back, because I had to get out of the police impound.
Still,
they had to
go. I'll pay $84 to not have to pay $500 in case somebody's an idiot.
I was a poor, poor, poor musician. I barely had that $84.
Maybe at the time, I was in my early 20s when this happened, and when I rented the car. Well, I had to at least spend, 20? What's the limit?
Like 25.
Yeah, so I had to at least. So I was 25. I remember it being a lot more.
You had a credit card at 25?
Yeah.
You had a credit card at 18.
You're responsible. Yeah. Fuck your responsibility.
I wasn't responsible with the card, though. But so,
dude, anyway. I got handed a Discover card. I got handed a Discover card at 18 while I was going to Western. Yeah, that's a dumb idea.
I remember the insurance being more. I don't remember it being like less than $10. A day. It seemed like it was a lot more money. Either that or I was just that poor and everything seemed like that much more money. But, speaking of road rage, I've I tend to take a very zen approach now to driving, and I try my hardest not to let people upset me. And I also, I'm not an aggressive driver at all. I've gotten too many tickets, get fucked around by cops too many times. I just hit cruise on the speed limit and just go. And I don't care who the fuck is behind me. But I had a truck on the way to work was behind me. And we're talking like on three lanes on 94. I'm in the middle. And there's not a lot of traffic going around on either side of me. This guy could have easily picked another lane. But I didn't get mad or yell or try and slow down. I just merely said to myself, because there was nobody else around, I know that you have a lot of choices taking 94 today, and I'd like to thank you for riding my ass.
And we'd like to thank you for driving with asshole. Stay on my ass. Thank you.
Yes, like, I don't get people like that. And if somebody bleeding in your car, then fucking knock it off.
Guys, I drive for a living. I could do like a 10-hour marathon for Jerry's Kids podcast on the shit I've seen just in the last 3 months of Southfield.
Well, yeah, let's get to some of the issues that are going on today.
You said police.
We said police, you know, I don't want to spend I don't want to spend a whole nother episode on Ferguson, because we're getting more information and there'll probably be even more developments by the time you hear this.
See, there's a lot of shit going on tonight. I was just the restaurant I was at had on CNN. There's a demonstration out going on right now for the support of the cop that shot Michael Brown.
Oh,
so
really?
That should get interesting.
Oh,
yeah.
I missed that.
Oh, I did forget. The Klan said they're going to show up and they're having fundraisers. They're having fundraisers for the police officer. Yeah, it's turning into a time to kill.
Can we get
literally?
Can we get the Black Panthers? Can we get the Black? Right. That would be so great.
Well, you know,
and I'm fucked up for saying that, but I think that would the Klan and the Black Panthers. It'll be like it'll be Culling the Herd live on
left
national
and
television.
Five and the White Panther Party, and they can provide the soundtrack to the riot. You know,
I don't condone violence, but there is definitely part of me that wants to see that fight between the Black Panthers and the Klan.
I mean, I'm the same, but no, it would be two militant extremist groups taking each other out. It'd be great. Now, if we can just get Muslim fundamentalists and Christian fundamentalists to duke it out, you know.
Picturing more like pulling the robe up over the head like a hockey fight and just, and just gut punching the guy until he falls over. Oh, in my head, the Black Panthers are winning. By the way.
Well, that's because if you've ever noticed, Chris Rock has a theory.
Yeah.
Boxing. The lower down the social, political power scale you go, the better the fighter.
Yeah.
That's right. How come white guys hardly ever win at boxing. Black guys whip the white guys' asses. Mexicans whip the black guys' asses. And somewhere there's a Native American fighter waiting to fuck everybody up. You know what I'm saying? So,
and if a white guy's doing well, he's poor.
All the talk about Ferguson directly involves talking about race. But one of the clearest opinion articles that I read about this came from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
That's all I could say about that article. He fucking nailed it. Everything about it, he fucking nailed it.
I'd like to... We'll cover some of the more poignant items in this piece, but I would highly recommend that everybody go to Time's website and read the piece for themselves. I only know Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as that guy who played basketball. You know, I don't follow sports. I had no idea he was such an eloquent writer.
Wasn't he Captain Unger in Airplane?
And he studied karate
and
under
an
Bruce
airplane.
Lee.
That's I didn't know the thing about Bruce Lee, but I remember him.
You tell your dad to drag Walton and Lanier up and down the court every day.
That's right. Hey, Billy, you ever seen a grown man naked? So you like gladiator movies?
Anyways, I didn't say that because I wasn't presupposing that he wasn't a good writer because he's a basketball player or whatever. It's just I wasn't familiar with him in that respect. But yeah, very poignant article. But the gist of it is that he doesn't believe that this... that what's going on in Ferguson is about race.
Now,
it may be about race for a lot of the people that are directly involved in this, a lot of the people that are protesting, a lot of people are making this about race. His point was that, I'll just quote from this, that the racial agenda distracts America from the larger issue that the target of police overreaction is a result of being poor. Now, and he outlines some facts in here too, but it's just unfortunate that a large part of our poor population in this country are minorities and especially black. So these are the examples that we see. But He lists a lot of different points in here showing how people are basically kept down and controlled in different ways, and how it's not just about race. It's just about economic. It's just about your economic status. You mentioned...
Yeah, well, I mean, it goes back to kind of the point you were... I think it was... I'm not sure if it's the one I posted on Monday or the one I'm editing right now. When it's easier to keep the poor people down just based on... Like, the fact that you said they're not going to pull over the guy in the Jag. He's going to know a lawyer. He's going to know a judge. It's much easier to keep your thumb on the people that are going to have... There's not going to be a chance of them... having an advantage in this system. Mm-hmm.
Outside of the police, he touches on other things. Well, payday loans is one that he goes after on this as well, as something that preys on the poor. And the only reason he brings that up is because you have politicians lobbying for these companies to have... Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't really have a lot of regulation on these things. And I've personally been caught up in this shit before myself. You know, I got cut, my back was against the wall, need to pay rent, need to make the car payment. I said, okay, I'll just do this as a temporary measure. And I got stuck in that cycle for a few months. And that was a lot of money.
Well, there was one that the fine print, it was a TV advertisement. We'll loan you up to $10,000. And the fine print was like, I want to say like 300% interest or something. Like,
yeah.
It was something fucking out ungodly large. I mean, shit that it would just be cheaper to go to the mafia. Mm-hmm. And pay points, you know what I'm saying? Pay a VIG.
It can be up to 500%
payday loans.
And then you got to figure that's just on one cycle. That's just until your next payday.
And so what happens?
You know, and then fucking Congress allows this shit to go on. And then they try to fucking pretend. Like, I saw something on...
They allow it to go on, not only that, but they lobby for it because these guys give them money.
Yeah, and then in an even-numbered year, then they try to pretend they're on our fucking side. And like, I saw something today on the net. It was some guy talking about people bagging on Walmart, which, you know, I get it. They're an easy target. But it was something about their living wages and 40% of their workers are eligible for aid. And a person made the comment, you know, Walmart slashing the throat of the middle class for 45 years. And I made the point, hey, how about Congress for 238? All right. Walmart was allowed to grow and proliferate under the laws, which they have passed and not reformed, you know. Right. And then they tried, like I said, in an even numbered year, like they try to come around and pretend like they're on the side of the common man. Shut the fuck up. You know, how did you get elected? Elections aren't cheap. You know, the money came from somewhere.
And at least you can say this about Walmart. You can't take the Walmart and move it to China.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not
there's other companies. I mean, I'm not pro Walmart, but if you want to look at the big picture, there's plenty of companies that are taking billions of dollars overseas in jobs. I'm not going to stand up for Walmart and say that they treat their employees better than anybody else, because that's far from the truth. But at least they're providing jobs here in America.
And just another thing, I didn't make this point because it just would have, because I'm just fatiguing on the internet, is, you could make the point that those workers are all eligible for the aid because they had to have all their hours cut to under 30 hours because of the Health Care Reform Act.
That's such a straw man. It was well before that they were eligible for aid, bro. Come on, man. Let's be honest here.
I'm not saying it didn't exist before, but I'm saying I bet the percentage is now greater as of the last 2 years than it was before. I bet you there was a smaller percentage.
I can agree with that, but look, here's my thing. At least they're providing jobs. That's like the girlfriend who blows you once a year on your birthday. I mean, that's really like you're not, and it's not even really a blowjob. It's more of a jerk off session until she's like, "Are you hard enough to fuck me now? Can we just have intercourse? I'll just lay under you and do my nails while you huff and puff on top of me." And it's like,
I take your point.
But another part of this too is the people that go in and ask to not be scheduled over a certain amount of hours so they can still get their aid. You got that going on out there too. I deal with guys who deal with that all the time.
I wasn't trying to defend Walmart. I'm merely trying to point out that there are, if you really want to tackle this issue, there's bigger fish to fry than Walmart.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that.
Walmart's low hanging fruit.
Well, my whole point was how you started this. Yeah, the whole point is just business reform and legislation needs to happen.
Right.
You know, it's easy for someone in an election year, you know, to point the finger outward. They should be pointing it inward. You have allowed this to happen. These are your regulations which this business has been allowed to perpetuate these corrupt practices.
They've allowed it, and not only that, they've made it cheaper for companies to base their operations overseas.
Mm-hmm. And it, so
they're,
it didn't
they're clearly it just, giving people a path to just, oh, we know that you've built up your business on our great, I almost said communist.
No, I didn't mean to get us on a tangent here, but no, it just bugs me when I see people in Washington trying to be sympathetic, and you know it's because it's a fucking even-numbered year, and it's like, bitch, who got you there? Fine, you're pointing your finger at this corporation, but what corporation got you elected? Well, all right? It takes millions of dollars for an election campaign.
I had a high school teacher who said something that was so cheesy, but I guess it's apt for this statement that you just made. When you point your finger at somebody, at least three are pointing back at you. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and I just, I can't stand just when politicians do that crap, because it's shut the fuck up. Fine, that corporation, you're against that corporation, but one of them got you elected.
Wasn't it Shakespeare that said, if you want to perfect the legal system, start off by killing all the lawyers? So if we want to perfect the government, let's just get rid of all the politicians. Not that I'm advocating killing them. They can just walk into a machine and just disappear. Mm-hmm. And never come back. You
know this does all tie in with what we're this article, though, because I actually wrote this quote down so I would get it exact. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar says that the police are seen as the enforcers of an unjust status quo. It's understanding that the officer is just the one that's been charged with taking action, but he's in the system that systematically keeps poor people down, reduces the middle class, increases the disparity of wealth between the poor and the rich.
Todd Zilla had a great quote which goes along with this. I am trying to find it because I want to credit, because he put it, I can't put it better than he put it. So I'm trying to find it
here. The man can be very eloquent while actually being very cutting at the same time.
Hmm. No, that's great. That's why we're friends. But he was just talking about how they're the product of a broken system, a broken, corrupted system.
The police officers.
I'll find it here. Yeah.
Right. And I think I made that point. I don't even know if we were talking. Maybe we were talking about my interaction with the police on the Weedsman. I'm not trying to demonize cops, and I certainly don't. I understand that there has to be a real healthy amount of good-meaning people who are police officers. But the overall system that they work within is broken.
Definitely. It's hard to do police work when you have to play the numbers game. You have to... We want so many drug arrests.
Right.
You need to bring in so many civil civil infractions and driving.
They're running plates. They're constantly running plates all around here.
Oh, the other day I was late for work. I left an hour and 10 minutes before I was supposed to be to work. Usually a half hour drive. And the cops are out doing their usual standing in the middle of the traffic at the busiest intersections, mm-hmm. pointing to people, pull over. You don't have your seatbelt on. Pull over. You don't have your seatbelt on. Fucking rush hour. They're doing this and just holding up traffic. You can't tell me that's police work. That's getting money for the fucking city they work for.
That's
and the asshole half of my brain says, bitch, you're on foot. I'm in a car. Keep going.
That's how come they had two interceptors sitting on opposite corners waiting for the people who didn't pull over. And by the way, this was three intersections within 7 miles of each other.
Your tax dollars at work.
There you go.
I got Todd's quote here. It's the result of institutional failure and mistrust.
Yes.
Can't put it any better than that.
Well, and how are we supposed to trust when we can't even get a clear story on what's going on? We were debating on whether to even try and go over the facts of this, because they seem to change on a daily basis, and there's like three different sides of this. Have you followed all the facts of...
Yeah, it keeps ping-ponging between, like, Brown attacked him, now he didn't, now they're not sure if that's Michael Brown in the video, like, then there's a witness, and then there's not a witness,
What I've been able to glean from all this, there seems to be three different sides, right? So there's the actual witness. We know that that Michael Brown's friend was there at the time and witnessed all of this. According to him, they were walking down the street, in the middle of the street, towards the police cruiser. They were told to get out of the street. Michael Brown came around to the side of the window. That's when the officer shot twice at Michael Brown, and then got out of his vehicle and gunned him down. Now, there's certainly a lot of talk about there's eyewitness accounts that his hands were up at the time. Where is this coming from? Because on the other two accounts, there's not even a chance for this person to put his hands up.
The account or accounts that say he had his hands up is the, I guess we could call it the I saint it accounts. You know, this, you know,
people right. are
there. Oh, I was there. I saw it. Really?
Yeah, that's one thing I've noticed that's getting a little muddied here with all of the... First of all, I've learned throughout this, I thought my days of being super cynical are over. I think we're back at an all-time high. I've learned I do not trust any media outlet at all. Like, and even, like, I've been following Vice, and to me, with Vice, I'm like 50-50 on Vice. Like, I think a lot of the shit they do is great, and I think a lot of shit they do is, like, purposely incendiary, just to get people to like click and watch and whatever.
Yeah.
But two, and you know, and then a lot of people are saying, you know, they're using Twitter, and it's because I was in a conversation with Todd about it, and I just kind of let that go because I wanted to immediately jump on Twitter and be like, I mean, it's great, it's in real time, but here we are at Rich with the I seen it. People can go, and it happened a lot with the Boston bombings. There was a lot of fucking wrong information going out on Twitter being used by news outlets just because people are like, oh, there, I seen it. You know, and I think
that man in the building.
Yeah. You know, and I think with Ferguson, I'm to the point now where unless there's video of it, I'm not buying it.
And by the way, where's the dashboard cam?
And I am a...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Where's the dashboard cam for all this? It's the 21st fucking century. Yeah. You can go to like Buford T. Puss fucks, you know, little podunk town, and they have dashboard cams, and they're mic'd. Where is this?
Why that bitch is turned off? I mean, as corrupt as these fuckers sound, I bet you I wouldn't put it past them. That bitch was turned off.
But there's yet the third story here. Like, so I can kind of see where I guess I tend to believe the Michael Brown's friend more than anyone, even though I'm fairly certain that everybody's story is quite colored. That's no scratch that.
Nice choice of words.
Scratch that. Everybody's story
is quite slanted.
Is quite slanted. Yeah. We couldn't use that one if we were talking about Asians.
And we couldn't say there's a chink in the armor in the story. Right. Chink it. Yeah.
What'd you say?
Oh shit.
No. So everybody's story slanted to their own side. Certainly. I can understand where you know there's. These eyewitness accounts that say that he had his hands up, that serves their story. Their story of us against the police. You know, that's just probably, yeah, it's just people wanting to be involved, getting caught in the streets. There's reporters all over the place down there. And they're just like, oh, yeah, I seen it. He had his hands up. He was like, don't shoot, you know, because that serves their agenda. That gives negative press to the cops.
And that also gets ratings for the television station because... Oh, hey, we have something outlandish to put on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this plenty of times, and anybody who went to school to be in the media can spot it instantly, especially if you're there when they're filming witnesses' reports. There'll be three people that give very, very calm, cool, collected, what appears to be fact-filled.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, eyewitness testimony. And then there's the guy who's like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. You know what I'm saying?
So the more emotional they are, the less likely they are to be telling the truth.
They ran that motherfucker over, and then they backed up over him again, and then they grabbed his rinky-ass grandmother and threw that bitch under the car, and what up, Pookie? You know, and that's the guy that's going to get on TV.
Because he's incendiary. Right. He's going to evoke a reaction.
Yes. And the people who are for the police are going to go... Look at the witnesses they have. Look at this. It's like something straight out of Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood. It's like a caricature. And the people on the side of, you know, the victim are going to go, well, oh, that's just one of us from the hood. That's just one of us. That's one of our people. And it's like, well, no, not really. It's not a good, very good representation of anybody. It's just a good representation of a fucking moron who saw a camera and he goes, oh, I got a story for you. And that's the equivalent to
the woman in the trailer park in the Moo Moo who said the tornado sounded like a freight train. All right. It's the same shit.
The cop's account, and actually we haven't heard his account directly. We've just heard from his police chief what happened.
That guy better move.
He's gone. He's like gone. He left the neighborhood.
Him and Zimmerman can get a timeshare somewhere.
No, he's basically in hiding right now.
But yeah, here's
yeah, he should hold on,
hold on.
Be.
Hold on.
He should also be in custody. I gotta make my point
or else this is going to make sense. Right. So the third account is from the what the police are saying happened is that there was some kind of scuffle that Michael Brown went for the cop's gun, but this supposedly also happened because they agree with the account that the first two shots were fired from inside the car. So what the fuck is that? How do you, first of all, go for a cop's gun that's locked into his holster? Second of all, you have to reach across him while he's seated cruiser?
Even if he's left-handed, so now you're reaching down into it.
No way. So that is just complete bullshit, and that just stunk from day one because that's just what you say. Oh, he's coming right for us, you know.
It's like burn. Can I make this point?
Right.
If that were either one of the three of us, we would be in a holding cell till they figure it out. This guy is not in a holding cell.
No. Yeah, yeah. And here's what I asked Aaron. We were talking about earlier. Is he lawyered up?
He has to be.
Okay, but here's the thing. Then why was his statement released? This is his account of what happened. Why was that released to the police and not his lawyer? Because there's no way a lawyer and the police, who have like lawyers for police specifically, are going to ever say, we're going to go ahead real quick and release his side of the story. It's going to be, we're investigating it. As the facts come to light, we'll present them. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to have one news conference, and that's all the fuck they're going to say about it until and unless it goes to trial. They're not going to keep talking about it. So this sounds to me like they were like, real quick, let's cover the shit up. Throw it out there. Have our news conference. People were like, your story's got more holes in it than Swiss cheese. Oh, fuck. We're not used to having this big of a spotlight on us. We fucked up. Mm-hmm. And so now it's just a bunch of, it's like when you get caught in a lie and you have to keep lying, keep the first lie going. Right. Eventually, you're going to lose track. You get lost in the inner workings of the lie.
But this, I think that in some way serves their purpose.
Muddies the water.
Yeah, because you can put out so much information that contradicts other pieces of information. And at the end, people just throw their hands up and go, well, I don't fucking know what's going on over there. I hope somebody does. I'm done thinking about it. You know, and it's the same tactic that they try with every big issue. Think about evolution. I don't know. For the longest time, I just understood it as fact. Hey, it's been proven. And then recently, like, oh, no,
we're going.
We got to hear both sides of this. No, we don't.
It's a theory. Well, so is gravity. Now, let me see you jump off the top of that fucking building. Go ahead and prove that theory wrong for me.
You know what's also? Okay, well, first of all.
That's a great point, Rich. Wait. I'm going to start using that in arguments, just so you know.
Yeah.
That's copyright Rich, 2014.
The whole
I'll make sure people know it's not mine.
The whole theory thing is people don't understand what it means to have a theory on something. It means you did tests. They all pointed to the same thing. There's your conclusion.
And you'll do further testing. And if different results present different conclusions, you'll present those.
Yeah, I believe.
Well, no. Wait a minute. No,
in fourth grade science, you learn that theory is a result of.
There's a major misunderstanding of what it means to produce a theory in science. And it's because we've taken the word theory and we've bastardized it for our own language purposes. A theory isn't, I've got a theory. I think those two are fucking. Did you see him? No. That's my theory.
I got a
theory.
Gut feeling.
Actually, no, if you're a scientist, you'd say, I've got a theory. Those two are fucking.
Yeah.
And here's a semen sample to prove it. I removed it from her vagina. That would be a proven, that's how you prove a theory. It's not a wild idea or like, I have all this crazy stuff that I've written down on paper conceptually. It's something that it is actually the results of your testing is your theory. Yes. It is proof.
I think they're fucking is called the hypothesis.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, but that's fourth grade science.
Right.
The theory comes from the results from your testing of your hypothesis.
Yeah, and before print newspaper became almost obsolete, while it's gasping its last breath in hospice, most newspapers were written at a fourth grade level. So take from that what you will.
But anyway,
that's the only form of media I trust anymore because the bias is obvious. You can see it and filter it out. Whereas it's a little bit more finessed with broadcast media. You don't realize the bias till, you know, like fuck an hour later. Wait a minute.
But the creationists use the media to their advantage by, it's not so much that we have to put out information out there that can disprove evolution and prove our point. We just have to get as much shit out there to confuse the conversation to the point where people just, oh, well, fuck it. I don't know what the right answer is, but I'm a Christian, so I must believe in creationism and not evolution. Or I don't understand it, but I'm an atheist, so I must believe in evolution.
Science and their pesky facts. And I believe in Invisible Man.
He just had people who were like, I believe in intelligent design.
But you know that, and again, that's another point that goes back to Kareem's, like I know him.
Mr. Abdul-Jabbar's?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. I keep using all three parts of his name because I'm not sure which ones I could omit.
I think Kareem would be to address him as if you knew him, and, right. And Abdul-Jabbar would be like Mr. Abdul-Jabbar.
Right.
I don't think it's a middle name. It's not like Mr. Harvey Oswald.
Can I just call him Cadge?
Can I call you Skyhook?
Yeah. There you go. Good one. Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, he does get to the point that controlling information is the major way in which the top 1% keeps the poor in place.
Yeah, this country is like a baby in a photo session. Right. All right? Right. Fuck it. We have a teddy bear with gay marriage on it. Look over here. We got a teddy bear with fucking, I don't know, what else we got? What else they've been floating up? We got a teddy bear with gun control on it over here.
Oh, we have school shootings over here.
Yeah.
Right. And then we have riots. But what are these riots about? They're race riots. Oh, okay.
No, they're not. Period. They're about fucking an oppressive culture that's coming down on the lower class.
Right.
And once they get away, and I look at it as it's like serial killers. When they're fucking, when they say, if you can kill an animal, you can kill a person. You know, the like when they're, you know, yeah. The serial killers when they're like 4 years old, snapping cats' necks and shit.
Right.
It's like once they prove they can do it with the lower class, then they're going to move up. Like the lower class, that's the low-hanging fruit. That's the easy pickings.
That's the test market.
Yeah, that's snapping kittens' necks, all right?
Right.
I've proved I can kill kittens. Let's move on to fucking, I don't know, children.
Okay. I can kill stray animals. Now I'm going to kill the neighbor's cat. Now I can kill the neighbor's cat.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to pick up a
kill my cat
and see if I can strangle her and dump her body, but not like a high class hooker from the back of Metro Times. No, we're talking a hooker in a truck stop that no one's gonna miss. So
eventually his way up to his parents.
I think some people would say
on that lower class, then the middle class is next.
I think some people would say the lower class is pretty much the experiment has worked as far as the people at the top would be concerned, and now they're working on the working poor and lower middle class.
Right. No, it's not about you work your way up. You work the people down. You created the bigger divide between the upper class and the poor, and you get rid of the middle class. So it's more like, hey, let's shove all the poor people into this hopper and burn them, and then let's slowly work all the middle class down there too, so we can get them in the hopper and burn them too.
And it's all by fear. You know, Rich, you helped me realize this on one of our last podcasts, is it's all out of fear. I realize I look the way I look, I drive the kind of car I drive, I dress the way I dress because of the lifestyle I live, and I just want to be fucking left alone.
Yep, yeah.
That's fucked up. Why should we have to live like that? You know, maybe it's 35 years old and I'm just now getting the smelling salts, or maybe I had my head up my ass for the last decade or so. But it's just, to go to Mr. Kareem there, it's weird. What's it going to take for our Kent State? Another thing I got into the other night is violence begets violence. You should not answer thuggery with thuggery. People have said a lot of the violent protested, which most of it has not been violent in Ferguson, but some of the violent protests that has erupted in Ferguson is people, well, This is their way of saying, we eject the authorities that you have put in place for us. It's not going to work. Violence is not going to solve the problem of violence. Let's look at what are the most successful recent protests in our country that have worked. The bus boycotts, the lunch counter sit-ins, the March on Washington, were non-violent protests. Well, now, police came in and got violent, but that's what it took, putting those images on the news of the police acting like total fucking thugs, for this country to be like, holy shit, that shouldn't be happening anymore. They should be going the Gandhi MLK route. The bullies will make themselves evident.
Here's the big difference that both Gandhi
and them a reason to use their shit. Like, they're there with the intimidation, with their SWAT gear, with the National Guard, with their riot gear, to scare the fucking shit out of you. They're looking for a reason. You start throwing rocks and bottles, they're going to put their thumb down on you even tighter. Let the people across the country see a group of people doing nothing, getting tear gassed, getting beaten, getting the shit kicked out of them. That's what's going to spark, I think, outrage in people. I think throughout history, answering violence with violence does not work. This is me getting off my soapbox now.
Can you see Dallas from up there? Just
I see my house. See my house from here.
But the what Martin Luther King Jr. and Gandhi both had that's not happening here or really anywhere in the U.S. now is a clear message, and that's mm-hmm. that's and, again what Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Well, we're back to the baby with the teddy bears again. That's what they do to us.
Yeah. So you just have chaos, and you have something that you can write off as a race riot, then and just kind of put a tack in that, and it is what it is. Hopefully, we won't have any more race riots. We should do something about this and not tackle the bigger issues like actually organizing and staging protests that aren't just in violence in reaction to violence, like you were saying, to actually get ahead of this issue and don't wait for something like a violent act to trigger people. Say, hey, aren't you sick of this situation? Don't you feel like you're being held down by other people in this society? And shouldn't we do something about it?
But see, I really do feel that you said they don't have a clear-cut issue. I think it's more like...
they don't have an organized issue.
Okay, no, I got you. Let me flow for a sec.
Sure.
The issue, you have people going, okay, everything's just fucked up. And the media's like, let's concentrate on that. And the powers that be are like, sure, that's what these people are mad about. Everything's just fucked up.
Yeah.
Let's run with that.
No, they just muddy the message until they start turning everybody against each other.
No, this is how politicians use the, I'm outside the beltway. That's for Washington insiders.
That's for those on K Street.
Hey, I'm just like you, all right? I'm trying to work the system from within, but I'm outside the beltway like you are.
Yeah, it's going to take an issue, but there's so many pet issues that people have that it's going to take something huge. And I think as much as a joke is it turned out to be to a lot of people, the Occupy movement was trying to do that. It's just we are now so cynical. We're like, look at these fucking rich.
But, that was somebody who had no message.
Yeah,
was that movement.
No, but they had eight
messages.
What I'm saying is they were trying. It's like it got co-opted so quick because you had Anonymous come in and then you had the WTO protesters from the fucking Seattle 1999, Battle of Los Angeles, or Battle of what, what I'm saying?
Got co-opted like the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Kind of. I mean, it's just, there's no one unifying thing that we can just all rally around at the moment because it's just not enough of the middle class are experiencing this on their own. To get back to what Chris was saying, when I got pulled over a couple weeks ago, if I still had my long hair and my shaggy ass fucking beard,
you got arrested.
Oh, I'm pretty fucking sure. At the very least, I'd have been handcuffed and he just searched that car.
I think there are a lot of the middle class feeling this. It's like how to boil a frog. The temperature is being turned up very slowly on us. So nobody's ready to jump out of the water right away. But the next thing you know, oh, fuck, I'm being served up for dinner.
But on the other hand, too, you also have, while the heat's being turned up slowly, you have the media. It's like a morphine drip.
Right.
Okay, let's just up the medication so we can lull them more into complacency to make them not realize they're getting fired up. I now officially refer to the TV as the brain-numbing machine. 10 years ago, TV was my best friend. I love TV. But it's just the more and more, and I think it comes to do with just the last year or so, my TV viewing has just I never turn on the TV when I'm on the road. Ever. Aaron witnesses all of my TV watching, and it's pretty much the video monitor is just a portal to the shit we've downloaded.
Right.
But it's like, I think it's once, and I talked to Todd a lot, but this is a conversation me and him had. I think once you have been, and he said he's experienced this with traveling too, getting out of this country. Once you have detached, gotten yourself out of the media loop, it's just so more fucking obvious once you view it again how fucking propaganda-like it is. I turn it on now and it's like, it is clearly obvious which way each channel is going.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's when you're in that machine, you don't know. You're just like, oh, it's the news and I trust it.
Can't see the forest for the
trees. And then once you have not been in it for a while and you go back in it, like I said, I now have realized I trust no media outlets at all. They have advertisers. They're holding to somebody.
I have friends that come over from other countries, and whether I met them on the internet or they're, they got married to a buddy of mine, and they go, wow, it's really weird when we come over here because your whole house is built around your TV. It's the center. It's right. The heart of your house. Your whole culture is built around cars and driving. There are fucking flags everywhere. I mean, it is everywhere. Then they go on to some typical stuff and your food portions are huge, and what's with this tipping thing? But whatever. sometimes you have to go to the outside or talk to it or bring an outsider in and go, oh, shit, it really is that bad.
Mm-hmm. Todd comes back when he comes off, when he travels around the world. Well, I'm sure you've seen, Todd is very opinionated, very cynical. He comes off the road in a completely different mood because he's been out of this country for a while and not been in the vicious media loop. And he says the propaganda is so evident. He said within a week of getting back, he's back to being cynical. And it's fucking ridiculous. It should alarm us. It should alarm us, and it doesn't. And that's another thing that concerns me, like just as a culture, just as a person.
My ex-wife has done a lot of traveling around the world, and she comes back and she goes, just what you said, it takes a couple weeks to get assimilated into back to American culture, back to, you know, I'm home. You know, you start, she goes, I start thinking like an American. The longer she goes away, the longer it takes to get to think, to start thinking like an American again.
Mm-hmm. It's just me, 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 me. I mean, and we're all guilty. I'm not saying I'm a perfect human being, but I'm just saying like, just things are just becoming more, and I say it all the time, every fucking day, I am so glad I haven't made a person. I think, Rich, you touched on this. You're glad your daughter's grown up. I got to hand it to my sister. I got to hand it to guys like Aaron. Dude, I would just lock my kid up. I would not allow them to watch the TV.
Turn off that fucking purple demon, Barney.
Yeah, please. Form your own opinions. Once you're 18, it's out of my hands.
Can I have some Dr. Seuss books? No, here's Arthur C. Clarke. Read that.
Amazon. We're back to our own Amazon banner. Apparently, the patent troll lawsuit has been settled. Carolla's saying he's won, but he's saying he can't say anything for 45 days. So, who knows on that one? But we have our own Amazon banner now. It's back up. Aaron, you made it? You made it through those couple weeks? Yep. All the payments are made on time?
I'm going back, to the name brand beans now.
Yeah. But you can click through the Amazon banner, bookmark the page, and you buy something. Amazon's going to kick us back a little something to help keep Christopher Media going. And if you're looking to launch your own website, you can click through the HostGator banner, ChristopherMedia.net. It's who we use to host all the Christopher Media shows, like this one, Unregimented, every Monday and Thursday. The Weeds of It podcast, every Friday, and looks like Tuesdays, because high people ramble. M&M Question Everything, those guys drop every Sunday. And the Toddzilla X-Pod, whenever he fucking feels like it. That's how Todd rolls. If you don't like it, you don't have to fucking listen.
And I will tell you that.
HostGator has to be glad they're not paying me a check. You gotta be glad this is all commission based. But whenever you sign up for HostGator by clicking through our link, you're helping to support ChristopherMedia.net. Back to the show. So, hate and discontent for an hour. We got anything light to end the show on, guys? Or should we just be?
How about this? The Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you heard the latest today?
No. Yeah, I saw you sent me that. I did not click on it. I meant to click on it. But
okay,
now,
hold on one sec.
Hey, we can click on it together. This is show prep, ladies and gentlemen. Of the highest order.
I need a tablet. Former NFL referee Mike Carey come out. And if you don't know Mike Carey, very prominent, well thought of referee in the NFL. Actually the first black referee to do a Super Bowl. And after a 2006 playoff game between the Washington Redskins and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Mike Carey said he went to the NFL very discreetly and said, after doing this game, I've realized I have a personal issue. I just don't want to referee any games for the Washington Redskins because I feel the name is a racial slur. And the NFL being the NFL, which they never want to rock the boat because they're a multi-billion dollar industry, went, sure, not a problem. And no one seemed to notice. And he just retired, I think, year before, something like that. So he's come out now and he said this. And this is amidst a bunch of broadcasters saying, who don't work for the NFL or the NFL Network, saying, I'm no longer going to use the term Washington Redskins to describe them. It's the Washington football team. And, of course, you have the talking heads on the other side, like Mike Ditka, who comes out and says this is all a bunch of liberal bullshit. And this is what happens when it's the PC, you know, police run amok. And this is liberals trying to take over the country. And he lived through this in the 60s, people trying to find something to protest. And essentially, to wrap it up, he said...
They needed to find anything, but anyway.
No, that was how he put it. I
understand.
They had to find something to protest
right,
about.
Yeah, you're really reaching.
Yeah. And he wrapped it up with, and if the liberals get their way, they're gonna rewrite the Constitution, which you're already doing a pretty good job of anyways. So
solid point on his last one there, but
well, here's the thing.
I digress.
Here's how I feel.
Both sides are trying to rewrite the Constitution, but anyway.
Mike Ditka is a legendary football coach.
Uh huh.
Whether he's
even I know him.
Yeah, the Saturday Night Lights kid, Dicka.
Coach Dicka. Dicka.
Oh, yeah. But whether he's a great football coach because he only won one Super Bowl and he pretty much sucked with every other team he was with.
Oh.
Whatever. But
I know this is going to get personal.
Another solid point by Rich.
Well, he traded away every draft pick for one player. That's not a good move. You know, but anyways, that's real sports nerd shit. We don't need to get into that. What I think is interesting now is that these reporters are coming out and saying this, and you have reporters who are going, look, I really don't give a shit one way or the other. I'm going to say the Washington Redskins until they change their name. And the owner is flat out saying, I'm not changing the name, ever. And the U.S. Trademark Office actually took the trademark away for Redskins and the likeness from the team.
Oh, who's going to use it? I mean, it's
no, but that means that
he can't make money off it exclusively.
They can't make money off of their merchandise.
Rich said they can't make money off of it exclusively. They still can. Just some guy with a fucking t-shirt press in his basement can now make Redskins t-shirts and not get sued about it.
And that's where a lot of NFL's money comes from is merchandise like that and suing the fuck out of people.
Well, don't be a racist prick.
Think about this. When George Romero made Night of the Living Dead, he forgot to reapply for the copyright. It became part of the public domain. Now anybody can put out a copy of Night of the Living Dead and sell it and make a profit. Mm-hmm. So this is what an NFL's team likeness and name has been done because, hey, I don't want to change the name. And there's differing views on where the name come from. Aaron, you said the first one when we were talking about it earlier.
Right, and I wish I could remember the source, but it was that a redskin was the scalp that was given as proof that an Indian was slain.
Now, I've heard a lot of them. I've never heard that before. How about you, Chris?
I had never heard that one either, and that's why I wish I could remember the source. I'm pretty sure I was watching Bill Maher's show.
Only time I've ever heard the term redskins is referring to the football team.
Okay.
Right. I just took it as a kind of a general term for Native American.
And it could be seen as a derogatory one. Now, the one that seems that most people who actually took the time to study up what the name meant, they seem to agree on, and this is me just throwing this out there, I'm not saying whether it's factual or not, is that there was a tribe of Indians from Newfoundland who used to paint themselves up for going into battle with certain fruits. And their nicknames became, and it turned their skin red, and it became the Redskins. They looked frightening to their enemies. It's kind of like how Marines were given the nickname by the Germans after World War One of Devil Dogs. They're like, because they're that fucking vicious. They're like hellhounds, you know? They just won't stop.
Yeah.
And so you take that, and if that is the true source of it, but there's still a group of people who are offended, what side do you come down on that? I mean, get over it, or...
I come down on the side of George Carlin.
Okay.
There are fucking two buttons on the TV.
On and off.
One of them shuts it off. Another one changes the station. You do not have to watch football. It is not forced upon you. Granted, it's on all the fucking day on Sunday, but there's fucking plenty of other channels.
Okay. Sure.
But I also come down on the side of, hey, you know what? You're going to be a racist, stubborn prick. Don't be surprised when the league takes sanctions against you, when you've had pressure to change this name for the last few years.
Well, how far is the league going to go? Because the NFL will fucking go, it's like the Proclaimer song. They'll walk 500 fucking miles to avoid any fucking anything.
The NFL
thing to take $1 out their pocket. I mean, they're now asking their halftime Super Bowl performers to, if you want to play Super Bowl, you have to give us back end on your tour after you play.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, at the end of the day, the NFL is a business. They are not going to take money out of their pockets. You know, that's why I said they took the trademark, and only stops them from making money off of it exclusively. Mm-hmm. They'll still be able to get a piece of every fucking jersey sold. Just like I said, now just some guy with a t-shirt press in his basement can sell his bootlegs on the corner and not get sued. They're still gonna, they're not stopping them from marketing the Redskins jerseys and t-shirts and hats. They're still gonna be sold this season, which I think is another part of the hypocrisy of the situation.
There has to be a hit to their income.
Oh, I definitely think so, because here in Detroit, if you go to any party store, liquor store.
Why? There's still bootleg t-shirts. There's just going to be more of them.
If you go to any, if you go to any,
that's going to hit your bottom line.
If you go to any party store, liquor store here in Detroit, you're going to see a hat with the Old English D on it. This is the Detroit Tigers Old English D. The ones in the party stores, they have to alter so much.
Yeah, they take the one little line off right there.
Or they make it bigger and they exaggerate.
No, but Aaron, you know where they're going to make up the money? Ticket prices, concessions. That's what's going to go up. Going to cost you more money to buy a ticket so they can make up that merchandise. I'm saying, they're not going to take money out of their pockets because the NFL.
Which is, yeah, but that doesn't necessarily make it up because then you probably have less people attending. You raise the price of a ticket.
No, dude. NFL's like,
this is where you can tell Aaron is not a sports fan.
Yeah. Seriously.
The Detroit Lions have been shit for 50 years, and they still sell out every fucking Sunday.
Exactly. It's
sports fans are like Patriots, dude. Just blind fucking faith and devotion.
And here's what I think. I think if the Redskins were, like, let's say, give me the most shitty, hardly any history team in the NFL. Off the top of your head, Chris.
The Detroit Lions?
Well, no, Detroit Lions have history because they've been there for fucking ever.
Oh, you're saying no history? Jacksonville Jaguars.
There we go. If it was the Jacksonville Redskins and there was this much controversy, the owner of the Jaguars would go, fuck it, let's redo the uniforms, let's change the name and give me a chance to sell a whole bunch more merchandise to these fans.
Right.
But these are the Washington Redskins. They've been around for, what, 87 years Washington Redskins?
He's probably also looking at this idea that if he changes the name of the team, he's not going to sell any merchandise. Nobody's going to want anything that says whatever we call this team in the future. They're just going to want the Redskins shit. So now his sales really take a nosedive because everyone's buying just the bootleg shit.
But that's because... but hold on a second. I kind of get what he's saying. Like the hardcore people who are like, fuck it, they're always the Redskins to me. Like, it's always Pine Knob to me. It's not DTE. It's Pine Knob. Right. I said DTE in one of the podcasts and I went, fuck, I can't believe I said that. You know what I'm saying? If the hardcore fans are like, fuck it, I'm not going to support, you know, the new team, I get that. But and
I'm
that's
not
what
that's support,
what
but just
Cleveland
less,
got over the
that
Browns
much less likely to buy the merchandise.
No,
come
football
on.
Fans are fucking idiots, dude.
No.
Most football fans.
Come on, fuck that. You've got plenty of examples of Detroit teams that have produced almost no results, and people still buy the shit out of their shit because out of their merchandise because they want the jerseys and the hats, the logo on it. It's all about that logo, and it's not only just part of that team, but it's part of the city. You know, you go outside of the city, you take your Detroit Tigers cap and represent.
Yeah, Aaron, it's just, people are just going to be like, "That is my." They will get over it, and it's going the mentality of I like football, and that's a football team that plays in my city, and they will get over it.
The owner of the Redskins might disagree with that. He seems to place a lot of importance in the name.
He's already proved he's a fucking retard. But
here's something I find interesting:
he didn't name the team.
I was telling Aaron this. Like the Chicago Blackhawks get no beef for their name because the Chicago Blackhawks went to the actual tribe. I don't know if there was. Leaders, representatives, what would you call them?
Tribal leader. Yeah.
Okay, and said, you know, we have this name. It our mascot is in no way like, you know, the smiling, stupid, you know, Cleveland Indian Chief Wahoo one.
Right.
It's a respectable side portrait of an Indian, a Blackhawk Indian on top of it. Look at our quarter. It's kind of like side, you know, portrait of Washington, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Blackhawks.
The Redskins logo is the same way.
The Blackhawk tribe went, you have our blessing. Same with the Florida State Seminoles. Florida State went to the Seminole tribe. Same thing. Maybe because there is no Redskin tribe around.
Right.
To go to. It's been co-opted by people of Native American descent. And I did use air quotes because it's just like people of Native American descent who own casinos find they have like, found out I had 1/16th Cherokee in me, and now I own a casino, and your name's John Smith. To anybody who's ever read or seen Pocahontas,
from the government.
That's not ironic at all, you know? But, I mean, because we have the Chiefs, right? But the Chiefs have what, just feathers?
It's an arrowhead.
Arrowhead Stadium, duh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you have the Indians, but the Indians got rid of the Chief Wahoo mascot. Now they just have the Block C and
but
their
it's still
logo.
Called Indians, which is a total misnomer, technically. You could argue that...
Well, right, that's just ignorant. But well, Native Americans doesn't sound good for,
here's also
for a team name, though.
Then you have the Braves, and the Braves used to have the smiling Mohawked warrior as their logo. Now it's literally just Braves, and I think there's a hatchet worked into the B somewhere.
No, it's an A on their cap, and then in the Braves, a tomahawk underlines the Braves.
Yes.
Which I still think people are still saying is racist.
Okay. Now, here's something that I heard recently. I knew the term Yankee because I was listening to both sides argue on a radio station because I was stuck in traffic. But anyways, this guy goes, well, the Yankees is a derogatory term. I said, how the fuck is Yankees a derogatory term? He goes, you ever been overseas? They look at you, fucking Yank. Yep. Fucking Yankee. That is not
And even in our own country, it was used by the South as a derogatory term for Northerners.
Northerner. And also to the Dutch.
The Y word.
We took it back, damn it.
We
repurposed Yankee. We did.
Porch honky for life. I'm taking it back. Notice I said porch honky. Yes. Note that so you can save your fucking bullshit. Oh, he just said porch something. No, fuck you. I didn't. I know what I said. But,
I like
but no, to the Dutch, to the Dutch, Yankee is a... That was a racial slur towards them, towards their countrymen.
Yeah.
You know, Yankee. And, okay, I guess like Paki is considered...
From Pakistani.
And remember when Bush didn't know that? And he's like, hey, we're glad to have the Pakis out on our side. And they're like, oh, shit, hit the pause button. You know what I'm saying?
It's like when Nixon got off of a plane and he was flashing a peace sign. And I believe the whatever country he was in, it was pretty much like flipping him the bird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's how come I think Bush did so much dancing with and
the hand holding.
Yeah, because he was really trying to make up for that faux pas. Right. But I see. To me, this is all people getting upset over stuff, and it's like, okay, I get it. But I'm Irish, as my friends who live in Ireland call me. I'm a plastic Paddy.
Yeah,
American born Irish. You're not real Irish. All right, well, whatever. Yet Paddy's a racial slur to them. But
no, I get Arabic people all the time tell me I'm not really Arabic.
Right.
Like, huh?
Well, I just
last time I checked, my fucking dad was 100%.
And I just had a friend. These are friends. These are friends I have who live in Ireland who go, "You're a plastic Patty," and I'm like, "You just called me an Uncle Tom."
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's that fucking mentality, and it's through every race.
But you know, I don't get upset because of
stupid.
And neither does anyone I know who's actually Irish, who lives in Ireland, get upset over the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. And I'm sorry, but Northern Ireland has been tearing itself apart for a long time. I'm sure they don't...
Right.
They don't want to be known as the Fighting Irish, but everybody gets over it. So is it because, well, you're Irish, and, well, you kind of won on the socioeconomic scale? You can, you know what I'm saying, like, pass for quote-unquote white? You're not Catholic. I mean, you might be Catholic, but you're not Roman Catholic. Like I know a lot of, back in the day, I heard stories about this from friends of mine whose their like grandparents came over from Italy, especially like Sicily, and they don't consider themselves white. They're Italian.
Yeah,
we're not white. White is my neighbor. White is the guy who cuts his fucking lawn in black socks and whatever. You know, we're Italian. We don't eat spaghetti sauce. We eat gravy. That type of mentality. And that's, I can't think of any teams with Italian mascots, but I mean, I can imagine if it was like the Wisconsin Wops, there would probably be a problem. Ah, you know what I'm saying? If it was like
New York Dagos,
the Cucamonga Cracker Killers, probably be a problem. You know, the Delaware Darkies, definitely be a problem.
The New York N-words.
The New York Shylocks definitely be a problem. And I think what it is that for so long, people just went, how many fucking, Indians? And then it was, no, it's Native Americans. And now it's, because it's been through a couple changes since I've been born. Indian used to be acceptable. Then it was American Indian. And then it was Native American.
Right. I just go with Native American because that's the most factually correct.
Yeah, yeah.
How come we can't get all up in arms when people call us white? Don't hear Caucasian American, please. You don't hear that.
Can. I'm Irish. No, like when people I'm say Irish American.
When people say, well, you can't call somebody black, why? Well, you get called white. It's fucking.
But see, that's the thing. There was not any Native Americans around in such numbers that no one really gave a shit. And then.
It's because we fucking killed them all.
And that's. But. That goes back to another point I made, but I can't get off on that tangent. I got to focus. It just seems hypocritical to me because, all right, I'll be honest with you. I don't care one way or the other if the Washington Redskins change their name. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was more upset when I heard the Washington Bullets were changing their name to the Wizards because I was like, Bullets make sense. Fast. What do you need to be on a fast break and in the NBA?
What was their reason? It was some
Washington
ridiculously obnoxious, politically correct reason why
Washington
they changed
their
name.
Washington was at the time in the top three murder cities.
Bullets invoke the image of violence. Washington, so D.C. do most sports mascots.
Yeah, it still is.
Okay.
So do most sports mascots. They invoke violence. But the Fighting Irish. You just fucking talked about them. Fighting's in the name.
Yeah. And you have shootings happening inside of Washington, D.C.
But it was never intended. It was never intended. It wasn't like their
I understand,
Their mascot was like a dude with baggy pants, a backward hat, thug life, and old English holding a gun.
None of this is about intent, though. Intent means absolutely zero on this. Really, the issue is, does this either not matter at all because it's just a sports team, or does it matter because it's one more cultural thing that can be used to just kind of generally, is it one more thing that can be used to just disparage minorities more? You know?
Okay.
I don't think anybody sees that as a source of problem, but it's like there's all these things, these negative stereotypes that we have, and this is just one of those, and they're just trying to dissect it piece by piece. Okay. I kind of land more on this doesn't matter because it's just a sports team. This is to me, though, like, this is like Ezra suing the band Better Than Ezra because they disparaged his name. You know, just get the fuck over it.
Well, and I also feel this way, though, if there is, because it is a snowballing effect going on. There mm-hmm. are millions of dollars being poured into TV ads that are supposedly going to go national. And I don't know if they're going to go national during football games. Because the NFL will take pretty much anybody's money. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, we want to get paid. We like money. Do you like money? I like money. But,
I like money.
Sorry. But it's gonna pick up steam. More and more people are going to be on board with it.
The organization that was kind of influencing all these people to stop using the name and just refer it as...
The team formerly known as the
Redskins.
It's literally. Go ahead.
Aren't there bigger battles to fucking fight? Didn't we just talk about something way more important for an hour than the fucking name of a goddamn sports team?
But I understand. But there was a story about the Fighting Illini have. I think it's a college football team. I think they have one of their mascot at halftime comes out and does a so-called war dance. All right, and this was a totally media setup thing, but it was just talked about today on radio. They had actual Native American students in the crowd, and
not fake.
No, not like the crying Indian who turned out to be Italian. You know,
as
what I'm
opposed
saying?
To the ones carved out of wood.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm being dogpiled. Thank you. I appreciate it. Someone want to shove a lollipop in my mouth and some butter up my ass while you guys are dogpiling me? That way I can get something out of this? All right. But no, seriously.
Aaron's the one who made the racist cigar store Indian joke.
But they put the camera and they did like, not the split screen because that would have been too obvious. They did the shot of the mascot doing the war dance and pan the audience and let's just stop the camera here and now let's zoom in. And it was a Native American student who was sitting there crying. And then they cut the scene.
Just one tear or?
No. No, she wasn't. That's what I said. And that wasn't even. That guy wasn't even Indian. That guy was Italian. That's the fucked up thing.
But, she's standing next to the garbage can.
Yeah, just like, please pick
all
up
all the litter around it.
Didn't they do that at the end of Wayne's World? Don't worry, we'll clean it up. Like
yeah,
an after
end of
credit scene.
Too. Yeah,
but no, and then so they, you know, of course, they use this as an opportunity to let's interview this person. And she, her comments were this: what people who are ignorant of my culture don't understand is that's not a war dance. That's part of my religion's practice, and we don't dance like that. We've never danced like that before we went to war, you know, and you're basically, you wouldn't have like a dancing Christ on a cross for BYU.
Nope. How the fuck? No. As much as I hate Catholicism, it is mocked all the fucking time in this country.
Yeah. But I'm talking about like,
time.
you're not going to see openly
though. We're talking about like,
openly all the time. What do you? It's
no,
constantly.
No, I'm talking
ignorantly,
about if Notre Dame. If Notre Dame said we're not going to have the Fighting Irish because, well, Irish people are upset and they tend to bomb shit, especially when they're from the northern part. We're going to change. We're just going to be the Notre Dame. What the fuck? I mean, we all know Notre Dame is basically Catholic based. If they had literally a mascot of Buddy Christ out there at halftime, like let's go get some touchdowns.
They have touchdown Jesus.
And a lot of people get fucking red-assed about that. But if they animated touchdown Jesus, where he's dancing around, like, hey guys, how you doing? That would be some like, shit.
People like the hologram, like Tupac.
Yeah. That so I kind of when I heard that her side of the story and that I was like, all right, look, I don't have a dog in this fight. But if that is something that is held that sacred and we're just using it and we're going, we're paying tribute to you. No, you're not. You're really kind of being assholes. And this is right. From the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
I have so many questions for this girl.
I know.
You know, it's funny. This reminds me
of... Was it your first football game? You know, it was a choice to be there. You probably knew the shit was going on. It's your first year of college. This shit's been going on. How long?
How many lesbian experiences you have? And have you totally flipped over?
This just reeks of setup.
No, it does. I totally agree. But I, just like the flag raising at Iwo Jima is very much believed to be by people who are in the know as a second take, like the first time they did it, mm-hmm. The photographer didn't get a good shot. So he said,
"Yeah,
guys, do it again. Do it for God and country and fuck those Nazis and mom and apple pie." And they were like, all right, fuck it, and did it. That's very much believed to have happened. So, by people that were there. So, I mean, a setup can be a good thing or a bad thing. If it draws people to this discussion and they go, I don't give a fuck, it's a football team. What do I give a shit about?
Yeah.
If they go, you know what, if it really does offend people and I don't give a fuck, why does it matter to me if they change their name? It doesn't. I mean, that's ultimately where I come. If right. They don't, it's not going to break my heart. You know what broke my heart about the Washington Redskins? Tampa Bay losing to them in that fucking last playoff game of the fucking ref who fucking didn't want to do them after that.
That's what broke my heart. A question here to piggyback on the multitude of questions I have for this young lady is I want to bring it back to Mike Carey here.
Mike Carey.
The referee that started this whole...
He's also a comic book writer.
I think I know where he's going with this. This...
1990 to 2013, and in 2006, you sprout a conscience. I question his motivation.
He's also this season starting a commentator job on.
Oh, football. Shocking!
Yes.
So all of a sudden, after 16 years of reffing these games, you all of a sudden give a fuck.
And he had no problem reffing Chiefs games either.
Yeah,
after
but,
that.
But I think the bigger issue here is that he decided that he did not want to ref these games, did so quietly, and now he's coming out to talk about it. Why?
Because it's
going to further his career.
It's not his biggest story.
Why would you keep it quiet, though, too? You would think you'd want people to know.
Because it would further his career at the time. He could continue to ref without making a big deal about it and possibly getting involved in something that he didn't, you know, something that people are going to take sides on. And now he's a...
Heaven forbid.
Now he's a catalyst. And he could possibly... they could find a reason to get rid of him just to avoid the drama and the negative press. So I'm sure at the time it was more like, I just want to keep my head down, do my job as a ref. I just don't want to be involved in these things that personally offend my beliefs. Now, it's not so much about offending anyone as like getting some press so I can further my new career.
And that's where my cynic side
comes in. The other part of me is,
and I think that's
you really want to make a point, fucking quit. Not to say, right. I don't just cherry pick. You want to really prove your point? Yeah. You should have fucking quit. Not just go, I want to quietly not referee these games, and then I'll say something about it 7 years later.
Right.
You really want to...
If you're going to take a stance, you would say, I cannot continue to work for an organization that treats race so lightly and offends people, knowingly or unknowingly, offends people with their choice of mascot and name.
Okay.
If that's what he truly believed.
To me, this is kind of self-serving.
Let me try to restore a little bit of faith in you guys, in humanity for you guys. It's like you read the comment sections.
We're going to be here all night.
It's like you read the comment sections.
Yeah.
Of the article, because you guys are just literally almost word for word the most of the comments. And then
I haven't read them at all.
But then you have the hardcore Redskins fans who are like, fuck that, that's our name. I'll die with that. I don't give a fuck. Doug Williams, baby. Blah, 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 blah. Right. Super Bowl, baby.
This is the guy that I'm saying would not go, if they did change their name, he would be like, screw that. I'm going to get the bootleg Redskins shit. I'm going to be supporting that until I die.
Oh, I could see it, kind of. I really could, but I'd be.
You just don't think that that's probably a minority of your.
I definitely think that's a minority.
They'll still be going to the games. They'll still want to get away from their wives once a week and get drunk with their friends.
Or they'll do what the Cleveland fans did when the Cleveland Browns got moved to Baltimore and became the Ravens. They were like, fuck that team. Fuck that. Yeah. I'll never support them. That's our team.
Right.
You took them from us. You didn't even make them the Baltimore Browns. You changed it. And then they brought the Cleveland Browns back. And they're like, we love the Browns. They're back.
Yeah, exactly. That's Aaron, that's the point I've been trying to make like this whole time. That's football fans right there. They will fucking get over it. Because
just real quick football, as a side note, because I'll tell you this. I'm a Tampa Bay Bucs fan. Grew up watching Tampa Bay in Florida. The owner of Tampa Bay Bucs, I believe, owns Man United, a huge, huge soccer team, one of the biggest in the world.
Manchester United. That's diversifying your investments right there.
He owns Manchester United?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yes.
Nice. Yeah, and well, he just recently died, so he doesn't own shit anymore.
Well,
except
he did.
Yeah, but he did.
And he owns the suit he was buried in.
Here's the talk that the NFL has been having, like chatter for a good, I don't know. Chris, what would you say they've been talking about having a European NFL team? Because remember, they now play like one game, two games a year over there.
Yeah, they're talking about London.
Okay, and they're... Because naturally, he was from there. Owned Manchester United. They're going to move Tampa Bay. They're going to move the Buccaneers to England. And I literally said, if they do that, I will hang my head in shame. I will put all my Tampa Bay jerseys and gear in the closet in a box and hide it. And I will suck it up and go to fucking Ford Field and be a Lions fan. Because fuck that.
I'm so sorry for you, Rich.
I'm telling you, dude. Like, I just...
I don't wish that upon anybody.
I lived in New York. Can't be a Bills fan. Can't be a Jets fan. Can't be a Giants fan. I've lived in Arizona. I refuse to be a Cardinals fan. I've never lived in any other football teams where I've followed them as much as Tampa Bay. I follow the most, the Lions the second. So I would become one of those sad, sad creatures that became a Lions fan. And every Monday you'd call, hey, how you doing, Rich? Oh, I'm so massively hungover because the Lions blew it again in the fourth quarter.
How do you think I'm doing? The Lions played yesterday.
It's a bye week. It's like, you sound real happy. It's the bye week. We managed not to lose a game.
Yeah, I'm happy drunk this week.
By the way, just one more thing about the whole name change. I think the non-name change that offended me the most in sports ever was when they moved the Jazz from New Orleans to Utah because there is no fucking Jazz in Utah. It's full of fucking white people and Mormons.
Right.
I mean, that Salt Lake City jazz scene?
Yeah. Well, what is it? Herb Alpert? You know what I'm saying? And?
that big Mormon jazz scene?
Dave Brubeck is too much for him there. They're like, we can't handle that 5-4 time. Get that out of here. That's crazy. We can't clap to that. Where's the 1-3? You know, so.
Yeah. No, I think they listen to like the Rippingtons.
What is it? Take five or something? Like sort of shitty, like jazz, like combos that do singing and shit. And it's like, have you guys ever heard of, I don't know, some Coltrane? We have a train. Okay, I'm just going to give up now.
On that note, we're going to wrap it up for this episode. Anyway,
yet another episode that we tried not to talk about race, and it all came coming back to race.
Well. It's the hornet's nest that is our country right now. It's a fun place to be. So, if you want to get away from all that shit, you can try DraftKings one-day fantasy sports. Football is coming up. I do like how we just did about a half an hour of football. It excites me.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And we even managed to bring Aaron in.
Down in my nether regions.
Included.
I guess special feeling. With DraftKings one-day fantasy sports, no being locked into one team for an entire season. You can draft a new team every day. Christopher Media listeners are winning real money every day at DraftKings Fantasy Football. It's coming. It's like a herd of elephants off in the distance. You can hear it. It's not here yet. I think next week we're going to be like to the point in Jurassic Park where the water is shaking.
Right.
Football getting close. But that's next week. But they're giving away $5 million kickoff week. Please click through the banner at ChristopherMedia.net and sign up today. We will catch you guys next time. Thanks for more hate and discontent. We've rained it down thoroughly.
I think that it had a little bit of more more of a lighthearted note than the last couple, 3 months.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because...
Talk about dark shit, man.
We kind of flipped it. We started out dark and then kind of tried to lighten it.
Yeah.
Flip the script.
But we will catch you on Thursday.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Thank you guys. Later.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.